Amen. If you have your Bible, I invite you to open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. When Brother David sent out the summer series of the armor of God, I thought, man, I love using objects for illustrations, and to have the fiery darts, I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome. So watch out for any fiery darts coming your way. Now, I'm very thankful for the opportunity to preach, even just to be behind the pulpit here at Bethany Baptist Church. I count it an honor. Just to proclaim what God has said. And as I studied this and been thinking about it over the past several weeks, if not a month or so, it just began to stir in me. And because I know myself and the darts that Satan has shot my way at times, and I know my failures. But then also I look sometimes out and people that did not take up the shield of faith, and they're not here today. And that burdens me, but we here can learn this truth and be reminded of this truth that God's given us everything we need to live a victorious Christian life. And so as we consider this tonight, know that the only way that we're going to be able to stand is by putting on the whole armor of God. And Brother David did a great job, so did Brother Gerald, Brother Steph, about laying down the foundations of the other ones, and we're adding on to that. So if you're physically able, I invite you to stand as we read the Word of God in honor. With verse number 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." I've entitled the message, "Take Up Your Shield," or you have to take up your shield in order to have protection. You have to take up your shield in order to have protection. And the spiritual battle is important that you pick up your shield for your protection. Let's pray. Father, I come before you this evening. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for your truth and the power that your word has. I pray that you would help me to preach your word with clarity. God, with power from you, that you would do a work in our hearts and remind us of this truth, that as we daily are in the battle against the spiritual wickedness of the devil, that you've given us everything we need to live a victorious Christian life and to face those things as the devil attacks us. And so, God, tonight, I pray that you would help us to consider that, and that you would challenge us, and that your name would be glorified through everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. So one of my favorite activities with the children over the past years has been our annual Nerf War. It's one of the things that the kids look forward to every year. Many times at the beginning of the year, they say, "Brother Carl, when is a Nerf War?" They're anticipating it. They're looking at the newest guns, trying to have the newest artillery to be able to take out the opponent or the evil side, which the boys always say the girl side is evil. And I think the girl side is evil because they always shoot darts before we even say go. But anyway, but they're anticipating the Nerf War and they're ready for it. And so this past year, we set up in the backyard over there the new Mission House, and we're back there, and we got the arena set up, and you have boxes around, and we got the red team and the blue team, and so we got boxes set up and things to hide behind, and the kids come in, and I give them safety glasses so they don't lose an eye or shoot their eye out, and then we get started, and I get them divided up on sides, and as we're there, and as always, the girls, not naming any names, Addison Foster, but she always shoots me before we start. No, I'm just kidding. But they were there, we're anticipating a good time, and having a good war of Nerf War. Well, this year was going well. We got started. I mean, darts were flying, shoo, shoo, going across. And some of the boys and had this like electric Nerf dart gun, and it's like, phew, and you're like, phew, and it's like it's coming at you. I mean, it hurts when it hits you. And I mean, these Nerf darts are flying fast, and they're going good. And so I love to play, so I sometimes hop in, but I hop out just to make sure that things are going peaceably and that there's nobody cheating, especially the girl side. And so I'm like just sitting out in the middle, open, watching. And so, well, everything was going good. Well, then pastor showed up and he comes in and gets a gun and he starts playing. And next thing I hear is, everybody get Carl! And the next thing I know, I mean, darts are flying, I'm running, and I have nothing to protect me. I'm running, it's like, I'm like, stop! And it's like, everything's hitting me, and it hurts. And then some of them stop, but then Grace and Addison and Andrew continued to chase me, and would not stop shooting me. I mean, the next day I still had welts on my lip, on my forehead, in the back of my head, I mean, on my arm. I mean, those things hurt. And they were flying at us, and I had no protection because I wasn't thinking that the kids were going to turn on me. But in life, there's a spiritual warfare that's going on about all around us. Our enemy is Satan and his host, and he is after the Christian to put them down so they cannot be used by God and they live a defeated life. And as we are learning tonight or considering the fiery darts of the wicked and how he's trying to attack us and the ways he attacks us, is important, and we have to use our shield of faith to protect us from Satan's fiery darts that are after us. But before we get into that, I just want to do a little bit of background or running up to that to just go over a little bit what Brother David and Brother Steph and Brother Gerald did. And so Brother David covered the belt of truth. And the belt of truth would be the Word of God and a believer that has a walk with the Word of God that spends time daily in their Bible. And so I borrowed these from Brother Jonathan Jamoki. And so we have a belt of truth. And the belt is the belt of truth that we need God's truth, and we need to spend time with God every day. That way we can have support from God and strength from God each and every day as we are in this battle. And so it's imperative that you are walking with God and that you're spending time with Him every day. And I just overheard this the other day, but I love what Brother Caleb mentioned, I got to read my Bible in the morning. Because if I don't read in the morning, I need it for throughout the day. And we need our time with the Lord so it helps us through the day. And then as you read the Word of God and you spend time with God, you put on the breastplate of righteousness. And it would be a coat of mail, but I would liken it to a bulletproof vest today. And so this right here has the ability to have bulletproof plates put in there to protect you. Or that way, I have backwards. That way to protect you from the bullets that would come at you. And that would just represent living righteously, living right according to the Bible. So you walk with God, you get truth from God, and then you apply that to your everyday life. And you live that out. And you make the right decision, the next right decision, you make another right decision, and you live righteously as you walk with God. And then the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, feet would be taking a firm stand in the truth of God and standing for God. And then we come up to verse 16 where it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, the above all doesn't mean that it's more important than the others, because truth is very important. And so it doesn't mean it's more important, but I liken it to like this. How many of you in here have a good wife? Okay, well, I expected some amens there, some brownie points. How many have a good wife? Amen, me too. So last year we were on vacation in Silver Dollar City, and we got there, and we're getting out of the truck and trying to get the kids loaded up, and Mary says, hey, get the umbrella out of the back seat. And so I'm loading up. We get in the park, and we're having fun. The boys are riding rides, and we're going along, and about midday, clouds are forming, and I mean, it just starts pouring down rain, cats and dogs. I mean, it's like, whew. And Mary goes looking in the stroller for the umbrella, and I'm like, I forgot it. And I liken to that where Paul's saying, make sure you take the shield of faith, because sometimes we tend to forget it. We tend to forget to take up the shield of faith And so Paul is reminding us, hey, it's important. You're walking in truth and you're living it out and you have a good stance in the gospel and you're taking the gospel to people. He says, you need the shield of faith. You need to take it up and to bear it with you because the enemy's darts that are hurling at us are coming fast and they're gonna penetrate and he's aiming to kill and you have to protect yourself. So he says, above all, make sure you don't forget this. Make sure you don't forget it. Kind of like Silas and Peter who got outside without shoes. Get your shoes on. Don't forget your shoes. Don't forget this. You need this part of the armor of God. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith, the shield in that time of day when Paul was writing would have been a shield that the Roman soldiers would have had. It would be like a door, what they would have considered it. So I made me a shield of faith. A shield. It would have been a 2.5 foot wide by 4 foot tall that where you could easily pick it up, but then also hunker dive behind it so that way you could be protected from the fiery darts. But the shield would be made of two pieces of wood that was pressed together by glue. And they'll take leather and they will dip the leather in water to saturate the leather in water and then put it over this and then so that way when the fiery darts would hit, it would quench the fiery darts. They would take a piece of metal and attach it to the edges of the shield. So that way when it was put on the ground, it would be durable. And so Paul is saying that you need to take the shield of faith to protect you, to hide your whole person behind the shield of faith. And so we're hiding from the fiery darts. Well, in that time of day, that was the most prevalent warfare of ammunition would be fiery darts. And so the fiery darts would be consist of an arrow and the arrow would have a point on it. Let me see if I can get this right. It'd have a point on it and they would take and they would wrap the tip and dip it in pitch, a slime that would burn. And then some of them would have some kind of fuel that would be encapsulated in there. So that way when they took it and they would pull back, they would light it. And when they shoot it, it would shoot. And the arrow would come flying with on fire. And when it hit, it would explode. And so it would be a flaming arrow that would come. And that way it was aimed to kill. But then when it exploded, it would cause distraction. And as the warrior is trying to get it out, then the enemy could come closer and attack more. And so he's saying that there are darts coming at us that are from the wicked. They're fiery darts. And he's trying to take us out. And so Paul says we have to take up our shield of faith to be able to quench. And this is something that says all. Not just some all, not just some. We can quench all, every single dart that Satan throws our way. But sadly, we don't choose to. Me included. And we can quench those fiery darts that come our way. So what are fiery darts? What would they be? Well, the opposite of faith is doubt and fear. And so we have here, and it also includes a temptation that the darts would be darts of doubt that Satan is aiming at us and they're coming lightning speed at us. They're going to be also fear that he's trying to instill in or scare the believer. And then temptation that he tries to get us to sin and to do wrong. And so I have a list of things I want to go over that I thought that would be helpful for us to consider. It's the devil has fiery darts he's aimed at us and he's ready to take us out. He has lit them and has pulled back and is ready to release. What are his fiery darts? He's trying to get us to doubt God's word, his truth. He's trying to get us to put a question mark where God has put a period. That's been his whole thing from the very beginning when he met Adam and Eve in the garden. He says, yea, hath God said? He was trying to get Eve to doubt God and what God said. God clearly told them what to not do. And he got Eve to doubting. And so he's trying to get us to question what God has said. There's some things that the devil is going to try to question us about what God has said, and to get us to fear him and to tempt us. It could be the devil in his way that he's sneaky, sly, conniving. He's a lion that is seeking to devour, and he could easily come up in thoughts or in imaginations or in different avenues to say, God doesn't love you. Maybe you've had some unexpected bills, health problems, a loved one that has passed away, and think trials keep coming, just like Job. And it could be that he's like, God doesn't love you. That's why all things, bad things are happening. And has that dart aimed at you to get you to doubt God's love. Heaven isn't real. It's a fairy tale. The Bible is man-made. You can't serve God. You have too much baggage. Buzz kids will never change. What's the use? You shouldn't witness to him. He could beat you up with his hands tied behind his back. You shouldn't witness to him. You might as well not pray. You just fall asleep again. You can't stay pure. No one does it nowadays. There's no need to go out in your Sunday, I'll go all out in your Sunday school class. If you put extra time into your lesson, it's just a waste of time. Remember last time? You don't have to tithe. It's only the Old Testament. Now we're in the New Testament. It's grace. You shouldn't go to church if you're tired. All you do is fall asleep. You deserve a break. You should stay home. It's okay. It's only one time, which will lead to another time and another time and another time. What kind of music you listen to really doesn't matter. It helps you express yourself. It'll make you feel good. Why are you still praying for his salvation? He's so far gone, he'll never get saved. It's okay to look and lust. No one will know. You're wearing sunglasses. In order to grow a church, you need to be more like the people you're trying to reach. It's okay to lower your convictions for the sake of the gospel. One drink isn't going to hurt you. Plus, no one is around to see. You have every right to blow your horn and yell, moron. They cut you off. The only way kids will listen these days is to yell at them. Prayer takes up too much time. You're already so busy. You can pray later when you're done. VBS is too much hard work. The devil hurls his flying darts of fear at us. You'll never be good enough. The world is so bad right now, and it's not safe to uproot your family and go to London. You're nobody, and you'll never amount to anything. You might as well stop trying. God can't use you to preach. You'll have a hard time talking. You won't know what to say. You'll stutter. If you give too much to Faith Promise, you'll end up losing your house, and you'll be on the streets. You won't have money to pay for food. Why are you following God anyway? Why do you put so much work into the ministry? Those are the darts that Satan's trying to hurl at us. These darts, they fly fast. They come hurling at us, and it's a whistling noise. And he's aiming. I got bad aim. But he's aiming at us to take us out. And they come whistling right by us. They're on fire and he's aiming to take us out. So how can we extinguish those darts that Satan's thrown at us, the temptations that he brings us of lust or of greed or of power or of insecurities that we have that he's going to try to tempt us with it or of not doing what he's told us to do from the Word of God? How can we face those things? How can we extinguish the fiery darts when somebody tries to, Satan uses somebody to try to tempt you to take some kind of drug? Oh, it won't hurt you. It's just this one time. You won't get stuck on it. How can we face those temptations? How can we face those darts, the fiery darts that Satan throws our way? What is the answer? How can we do that? Well, Paul says right there, take the shield of faith. Well, what is the shield of faith? It's something that blocks us, that protects us. And we go back to what we're putting our faith, who we are putting our faith in. And our faith is put in God and God alone. And so when you are faced with those darts that come at you and they're hurling past you, trying to take you out, what you do is you quickly put up your shield and you say, no, the Bible says, I am not to lust. No, the Bible says, I need to tithe. And you take up and you quickly apply God's word and it'll provide protection from the fiery darts of Satan. It's taking the word of God. You're in your Bible reading. You're walking with him and you're trying to live righteous life and you're standing. And when those darts come, you have to take that shield, the truth that you have learned from the Bible and readily apply it. You have to apply it immediately because those darts are coming at you. You don't have a second to think. It's got to be saying, you know what? No, God said this. I'm not going to do that. God says, no, I'm not supposed to be angry. God says, no, I'm not supposed to do that. God says, no, I shouldn't fear the weather. God says, no, I shouldn't do that. It's immediately, quickly applying the truth of God to that fiery dart the devil just hurled at us of saying, God, my trust is in God, and I'm not going to. And when you do that, those darts, they're quenched, and it stops them right there, and they can't affect you. That's how we can quench the fiery darts of the wicked, by applying his word immediately, so we don't become a casualty, or we don't become injured along the way. What did Jesus do in the wilderness? When the devil came to him, he says, "Yay!" Or he used the temptation there. And what did Jesus do? Jesus immediately applied God's word. Jesus, as a son of man, just said, "It is written. It is written. It is written." He used the word of God quickly to shield from those fiery darts. And you and I too, when we have darts hurled at us, we must quickly apply God's word to our lives. That way we can face and quench the fiery darts. Quickly applying God's word provides ultimate protection from the fiery darts of the wicked. We can live a victorious Christian life if we'll just take God's word that as we're walking with him, as what we learned, and apply it immediately. But there's times that we don't. If we're all honest, there's times that we don't. And that's when we're attacked, an explosion that happens, and Satan's trying to take out God's people so they can't be used by God. There's something that, as I was studying, I found interesting, that these shields of faith, they're designed in a way that you could take and lock them side by side. So they interlock together. So that way you could, as a group of soldiers, as a group of in the military, you could get behind it and you can move forward and you could stand and be in secure with other people around you to help you along the way. Do you know what God's given us? He's given us a church family that we can lock arms with. God wants us to be in unity and to lock arms to face the fiery darts of Satan. He wants us to go side by side and help each other along the way to be there, to uplift one another and to be there. So that way we can help each other as we apply God's word. So that way we don't get hit by the enemy's fiery darts. Satan wants to take out anybody and everybody he can so that way they can't be used for the kingdom of God. But thank God that he gave us in his word what we need so that way we don't have to be a casualty or be injured. All we have to do is live it out. Sometimes people think like the armor of God is some supernatural spiritual thing. It's not. It's as simple as reading your Bible, living it out, standing firm, applying it when those darts come at you. And you know what? You can be a happy Christian, and you can see your life, a victorious Christian life for God Almighty. So I have a few questions and we're done. I have to ask this, but are you struggling to read your Bible? Because if you're not walking with God, Satan already has a foothold on you. Are you struggling to live right according to His Word? Are you quickly applying His Word when the fiery darts of doubt, fear, or temptation come hurling at you? They're going to come hurling at you because He wants to take us out. But we just have to quickly apply God's Word. And when we do that, it quenches the darts. And I picture it this way. Nobody's stronger than God. And when you apply God's Word, I envision it like God just stands right there in front of us. As I thought through it and studied it, it's like, I just envisioned, in Revelation it says God has His foot on the sea and on the mountain and how big He is. He wants to stand in front of you to take those darts. But you have to apply His Word quickly so that they don't penetrate you.